Mark chapter 11, we're going to pick it up at verse 27 through the end of the chapter, finally. And try to keep in mind that all the events of Mark chapter 11, even though we've spread it out across Christmas, I cannot keep my holidays straight. Across Christmas, all the events in Mark chapter 11 take place over 3 days. So this has all been pretty tight. And in fact, the rest of the book of Mark will all take place within a week. So even though we're going to be kind of spreading this out over the next few months, these things are all happening within days of each other. So Mark chapter 11, verses 27 through 33. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men," they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Lord, let us feel the weight of your authority this morning as we hear your word. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive it. I know from your word that we can't accept spiritual things unless they're revealed to us by you, the Spirit. So Lord, do your work in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there was this movie in the 90s with Dennis Quaid and Kathleen Turner called Undercover Blues. Has anybody seen this thing? It's very silly. It's not 100% child-friendly. I know there's a baby on there, but it is PG-13. This couple, Jeff and Jane Blue, are in New Orleans with their one-year-old. And you never quite find out whether they're on leave from the CIA or some other government agency, but they're spies. They get recruited to do some undercover work while they're on leave in New Orleans. And, well, their proximity to several crimes over the course of a few days ends up getting them arrested by the local police department. And the charming thing about these characters is that they never seem to get ruffled. I mean, you look at those faces. Do they look upset about anything? So there they are in the police department. They're getting questioned. People are shouting at them, and they just smile back. See those big toothy grins? They're just not at all concerned. Suddenly, the phone rings in the police department, and the lieutenant who's interrogating Jane is told that he's got a phone call. He says, "I'm busy." And the other police officer in his New Orleans accent says, "It's about Blue, sir." He says, "Well, who is it, the president?" "No, it's the governor." All of a sudden, the tables have turned. Instead of giving orders, they're now taking orders. No more questions asked. Jane and Jeff are released, sent on their way. And just one more time in the movie, the lieutenant tries to get a little pushy, get a little heavy-handed with Jeff and Jane. And Jane just says, "Well, how about we talk to that nice governor of yours?" And that's the end of that. He doesn't push the point any further. See, Jeff and Jane are not afraid of somebody else throwing their authority around because they know they are under a higher authority. I was reminded of that story when I read about Jesus' situation in Jerusalem. I mean, Jesus is in the temple, which is like the global center of Judaism. And he's being addressed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders, the bigwigs. These guys are the high authorities of religion in Israel. And they challenge him about his teaching and his miracles and that whole thing where he drove everybody out of the temple yesterday. They say, "By what authority are you doing this? Who gave you authority to do these things?" And Jesus immediately turns the tables on them and says, "You answer my question first. Who gave John authority to baptize?" And they won't answer his question, so he won't answer theirs. Jesus pulls rank on these chief priests and elders. These are the people who are used to having their questions answered, their authority respected. They think they're examining Jesus to decide whether his authority is valid. And instead, he ends up examining them. His authority is higher
and so he doesn't bend when they try to get heavy-handed with him. And if we recognize that we are under his authority, we also can face authorities that try to tell us, you can't follow Jesus like that. You can't do those things without bending. Now, the question about authority is worth asking. Many people today never think about authority, or if they do, they shake their fist at it. And the reality is that Jesus does have authority, and that dictates how we live in relation with him and with other people on earth and other human authorities. We need to answer for ourselves the question about Jesus' authority so that we can stand against false authorities. So the question about authority is legitimate. The question about authority is legitimate. Jesus is doing and saying some pretty crazy things. I mean, just the day before, he was driving people out of the temple. He says things like, I forgive you of your sins, and that if anybody wants to have eternal life, they have to come follow him. Imagine somebody walking into our church this morning and starts ripping pews out of the floor and flipping them over, telling everybody, get out of the sanctuary. And if we want to have eternal life, we have to follow him. Now, my first assumption would be that this person has gotten off their antipsychotic medication. There's something wrong with this person. But if they are in their right mind, you demand from that person, what makes you think you have the right to call us to follow you instead of the way that Christians have followed Jesus for the past 2,000 years? What makes you think you have that authority? This is how cults get started, when somebody thinks that they've got this special anointing from God that nobody else has. And so when the priests ask Jesus, who gave you this authority, that's not a bad question. And I'm seriously begging you to ask this question. Ask the authority question before you put your trust in some story that you hear. You know, the kids at Blue River in the high school will copy down things for a paper off the internet, and if they cite it at all, they might just say, from Google. Now, I don't know if you guys know how Google works, how search engines work. Google doesn't actually publish things. They just search and find things that other people have published. You can't cite Google as a source. And they list sources without regard for whether it's true or not. It's just, how many hits does this thing have? How relevant is this? And yet it's not just kids. Adults do it too. Ever heard of QAnon? You heard of this? So back in 2016, have you heard of the Pizzagate scandal? Did you hear about that? So there was this conspiracy theory being published that Democrats had a child trafficking ring out of the basement of a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. And this seems pretty far-fetched, right? And yet somebody showed up in December of 2016 with an assault rifle in this pizza place because he was going to save these kids from this child trafficking ring. Now, the story was that it was happening in the basement of this pizza parlor, which, by the way, doesn't even have a basement, much less a child trafficking ring. And so obviously this guy got arrested. And yet QAnon has published many other conspiracy theories since then, and people believe them. So-called adults believe these stories without ever asking the authority question. Who is promoting this idea? Who says this is true? Now, people post videos online about this is what the Bible says, and churches are being deceived, and this is what you need to know. I got a letter from our church, an actual physical paper letter with no name on it, no return address or anything, just explaining a number of things that churches get wrong. And they were describing how churches don't understand the word for repentance, or what repent means. And it had printed the Hebrew word out of the Old Testament for repentance. And this is what the word is, and this is what it means. Only problem is that Hebrew word never appears in the Old Testament. I mean, I don't know where they got the Hebrew text, but I looked it up. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. This is not the Hebrew word for repentance. And it was evident this person didn't actually know the first thing about Hebrew. And of course, since they didn't put a name on it, on the letter or on the envelope, I couldn't talk to them about it. They were under the very common delusion You can just throw religious claims around without a name or without authority. Guys, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you read. Ask the authority question. Who says so? Who says these things are true? People throw around Greek and Hebrew terms who've never studied Greek and Hebrew. People come up with explanations for why world events fulfill some biblical prophecy when there's no prophecy like that in the Bible. We'll get into that in Mark 13. Often people just come up with their own beliefs about what God is like and how to get to heaven, as though they themselves have the authority to determine what God is like. Okay, God, I've decided. Here's how I'm going to get to heaven, so you better just accept that. Guys, stop. Okay, stop buying into the conspiracy theories. Stop getting your religious beliefs from the internet and your own imagination. Ask the authority question. Who says this is true? What gives them the right to make that claim? By what authority are they teaching these things? The problem with these chief priests and teachers of the law is not that they ask where Jesus' authority comes from. It's that they're not willing to accept the answer when it's staring them in the face. While Jesus is doing all these miracles and fulfilling all these prophecies, they still won't believe it. And so Jesus asks them the same question about John, verse 29. I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism. Was it from heaven or from men? Tell me. Now, John the Baptist's whole purpose was to point to Jesus. You know, prepare the way of the Lord. That's his thing. So if they answer the question about John correctly, they'll have their answer about Jesus. This is an authority question, and it specifically zeroes in on John's baptism. Now, John the Baptist was best known for dunking people underwater. Why did he do that? It was a call to repentance. To leave their old life, their old way of thinking, and start living a new life, washed clean, forgiven. And this leads right to the heart of Jesus' teaching. The whole reason Jesus died on the cross, to take away our sins, so we could be forgiven, so we could start living in right relationship with God. Asking them to respond to John's authority ultimately is asking them to respond to Jesus and what he came to do. And Jesus gives them two basic options. Was it from heaven or was it from men? Because if it's just a couple of guys spouting their opinions, then who cares? You know, humanity can teach you a lot of stuff. They can teach you about science. They can teach you about the natural world. We can make things. We can teach each other skills. You can watch a YouTube video on how to replace the spark plugs in your car, and you'll probably be able to do it successfully. But you can't speak for God. You can't tell God what he's like or what he has said about eternal life. So if it's just a human being saying what they think about God, take it or leave it. But if God is speaking for God, then you'd better listen. If John's baptism is from heaven, more to the point, if Jesus' authority is from heaven, then God is telling you what God is like and whether or not you're going to have eternal life with him. This is the big question we all need to answer. When we talk about Jesus and how we live in response to Jesus, are we just tossing around human ideas? Or is God delivering a message from heaven that our eternal life depends on? And when we recognize authority, it demands a response. And at this point, the priests and elders call a huddle. They're like, uh-oh, we're in a tight spot. Verse 31, they discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he'll ask, why didn't you believe in him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Now, on the one hand, they're right that there are consequences to how they answer Jesus' question. On the other hand, it never seems to occur to them to ask whether their answer is correct or not, whether it's actually true. They're only concerned with how much trouble each answer is going to get them in. I could say this, or I could say this. This one's a little bit of trouble. This one's more trouble. They never stop to ask, is the answer true? They don't really believe John's message was from God, so if they say it was, they have to admit they were wrong. Nobody likes admitting that they're wrong, right? But if they say John's baptism wasn't from God, that's going to make a lot of people mad. And a lot of people treat Christianity this way. They don't honestly believe Jesus died and rose again. They don't honestly believe that they're going to be held accountable for how they treat Jesus. Their biggest fear about spiritual things is not that they're going to be judged by God, but that other people are going to tell them they're wrong. So our culture's created this unofficial rule that you're not allowed to tell anybody that they're wrong. They don't really believe Jesus is coming to judge the world, so the worst offense you can commit is telling somebody else that they're wrong. You can't go around calling people to repent of their sins. That just violates my principles. But just like the priests, they're in a dilemma because they don't believe in Jesus, but they know there are a lot of people who do. So if they say Jesus isn't really from God, they know they're going to tell other people they're wrong. Maybe their mom and dad believe in Jesus. Maybe their grandma believes in Jesus, and they don't want to disappoint grandma. Just like the priest, they're not really asking the question, is it true? They're just asking, which answer is going to get me in more trouble? Our culture is caught in the same paralyzing indecision as the priests that just makes them say, I don't know. I think maybe I'll think about it, but no, I really won't think about it because if I make a decision, then I'm in a tight spot. They're more worried about how they look than they are about the actual truth. And so they're not willing to take a stand publicly that might make them unpopular. They take the coward's way out. They refuse to decide what to believe. And many people go that route. They want to be spiritual, but not religious. Religious is too definite. They want to believe in something, but not held accountable for what they believe. They're deconstructing, to use a recent buzzword, which means they're picking apart what they think is wrong with traditional religion, but they never reconstruct anything solid to take its place. It's like renovating a house where you tear it down to studs, but then you never put anything else up. Maybe you've lived in a house like that for some time. Our culture is trapped in limbo. They've torn down the authority Christianity is built on, but they can't find anybody with the authority to build something new. The reality is that they've got something far more serious to worry about than being told they're wrong or the awkwardness of telling other people they're wrong. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Now, if Jesus has no authority except human opinion, then, you know, big deal, who cares? But if he is speaking God's words by which we will or will not have eternal life, then who cares if you have to admit that you're wrong? Who cares about public opinion or popular opinion? Your eternity's on the line. If Jesus really is speaking with the authority of God, he brought us the most dire message in history. And it's time to drop everything and adjust our lives to what he has to say. What's on your schedule this week? If you believe in the authority of Jesus, I'll tell you the first thing on your schedule this week is to follow Jesus. This is not a don't have time for it this week kind of thing. If you believe in the authority of Jesus, whatever you have that conflicts with the authority of Jesus is what you don't have time for. So practically speaking, what does following Jesus look like? Well, first of all, if you have not been trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus to save you from your sins, that has to come first. What Jesus did on the cross when he died in our place and rose to life again on the third day so that we could have eternal life, that has to come first. Nothing else about following Jesus is going to work. It's not going to make sense until you've got him as your Savior, breathing his new life into you. We've got that baptism class starting in 2 weeks. If you're interested, now's a great time to jump in. If you do repent of your sin, if you do trust in Jesus, Then your first step this week in following Jesus is to take the time to find out what Jesus wants you to do. And I know that might sound like a cop-out, like I'm just being lazy as a preacher and not giving you more specific instructions. But this is the attitude of a follower. You're not following me, you're following Jesus. You can't follow somebody if you don't watch them, if you're not paying attention to what they're doing. So start your day in prayer. Ask him to lead you. Open up his word, see what he wants to reveal to you, and then live your life according to it. Adjust your life based on what he tells you. Adjust the way that you talk to people, the way that you treat people. Adjust the goals that you pursue. Adjust how you handle money and time. And when you notice that there is sin in your life, and you're going to, there is going to be sin in your life. Join the club. When you notice it, don't be like the priests and just brush it under a rug because you don't want to admit that you're wrong. Confess it. Ask forgiveness and pray for him to change you. And then get up the next day and do it again. Recognizing Jesus' authority means it determines how you live your life. But here's the fun part. Here's the good news about Jesus' authority. Living under real authority protects us from false authority. Living under real authority protects us from false authority. Just like Jesus can stand in the temple and stare down the chief priests because he knows his authority is higher, if we are under his authority, we can say no to authorities that try to tell us you can't live like that. You can't be like that. Peter and John, after Jesus died and rose again and went to heaven, Peter and John were out preaching the gospel, and they got arrested by these same chief priests. They got taken before the Sanhedrin for trial, just like Jesus did, and they got threatened and told, "You can't teach in the name of Jesus anymore." And they said, "Who do you think we ought to obey, you or God?" That's the same situation for us. We can resist even the most powerful human authorities when it's necessary to be faithful to Jesus' higher authority. And I'm always hesitant to say that because I know there's somebody that just hates authority and just looking for a religious excuse not to have to listen to somebody else. Okay, that's just sinful lawlessness. Don't encourage that rebellious attitude. God's word says to submit to the governing authorities until they conflict with Jesus' authority. And yet this is a reality that Christians around the world live with. Let me throw this map up on the screen for you here, hopefully. Okay, can you tell the difference between the blue and the green? I know they're not a sharp distinction. But all those blue countries are countries where following Jesus in some way is against the law. If you follow Jesus, if you do everything Jesus tells you to do, you will break the law. Every single one of those countries. And they end up in prison. And they end up being fined. And their churches get shut down. And their property gets taken away. Following Jesus means recognizing his authority over the authorities of the people that you live around. Now, is that true in America? Well, for most of us, following Jesus is not going to lead us to break the law. But you might lose your job. Now, I'm not saying you need to be a nuisance with your faith and go out. I'm not saying you have to preach on the job. You know, there are plenty of opportunities to share the gospel outside of your job. But if your job requires you to do something that conflicts with Jesus' authority, you have the authority under Jesus to draw a line and say, "No, I'm not doing that." Now, am I guaranteeing you that Jesus will keep you from losing your job if you do that? No. These chief priests that Jesus is staring down right now, in a worldly sense, it's going to look like they win. They're going to execute Jesus. And I'm not saying he's going to keep you from losing your job, but Jesus has authority even over death. They killed him and he came back to life. And when we're faithful to follow Jesus, it might lead to losing a job. It might, in some countries like these, lead to prison or even being killed. And yet his authority is greater, and we will be raised to life with him when he comes again. Now, most of us in this country at this moment in history won't face official authorities that tell us not to follow Jesus. Thank God. But there is an unofficial authority that's constantly telling us not to follow Jesus. And that is the voice of popular opinion. It may not have an official title, but it has authority. And it will try to stop us from following Jesus. It says things like, you can't say their beliefs are wrong. You can't tell people that what they're doing is sin. You can't suggest that they need the forgiveness of God. Now, if those are the only things you're telling people, you're kind of a jerk. Okay, mostly the gospel is about God's love and Him wanting to give you eternal life through faith in His Son Jesus, who He loved you so much that He gave to die on a cross. Okay, that's the gospel. And many people will say, well, that's fine. We're okay with those things as long as you leave out the parts about sin and judgment. We can't do that. By the authority of Jesus, we can't leave out the parts that He told us to teach. The very last words that Matthew's gospel records, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of that authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. People can tell us you can't say those things, and we don't have to get angry. We don't have to get defensive and start griping about my religious freedom. I'll give you a secret. The government doesn't give us religious freedom. Jesus gives us religious freedom. His authority gives us the freedom to follow Him even when anybody else tells us no. But we don't have to get angry. We can just smile because we know we're under a higher authority. And we can say, don't ask me, ask Jesus. In fact, are you interested in looking at His word together? Ask Him, see if they'd be interested. Don't believe everything you hear. Ask the authority question, who says so? Maybe most difficult of all, do that to your own beliefs, your own choices. Is what I believe right? Who says so? Are my actions right? What does Jesus say about this? If you really recognize His authority is over every other, let it change your life. And once you know that you're under His authority, you'll have the courage to stand against every false authority that would try to frighten you. You pray with me. Jesus, You are King. You are the Lord over every other. Help us to see the places that we have been frightened by other authorities and to trust You to rule over that. Show us the places that we have not submitted to Your authority, even when the only obstacle is our own will, even when it's our own stubbornness standing against Your authority. Lord, just give us the humility, but also the trust to do what You say and believe that You will bring about our best possible good. Do that work in us, Lord. And for those that still need to put their faith in You, still need to trust in You for eternal life, Lord, open up their hearts, unwrap the layers that they've built up to protect themselves from feeling threatened, the fear of being wrong. Gently go in, draw them out, and let them know that You are worth trusting. You are a safe Lord. You are our Savior. Draw them to You, Lord. And I pray that we would go out from here with confidence, with assurance, with hope, because You're leading us.